You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Chipped ham and football, that's what Pittsburgh does. Not particularly well lately, though, and we're going to get into that with NFL Network analyst, former Giants scout and executive Mark Ross. But first, I'm Brian Batko. This is the PG Sports Now show on the Post-Gazette's podcast network. We are presented by Pella. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella. Can help you save on your energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella windows and doors to find the right product for your home and your budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Mark, thanks so much for joining us, man. How are you today?
Well, excellent. My pleasure.
For sure. Let's just, you know, start broadly. You know, you don't live in Pittsburgh. You're not you're following every NFL team, not just this one. But from your big picture vantage point, you know, what is going on with this team? And this wasn't like, hey, Mark, come on and bash the Steelers, because we scheduled you last week before we knew they were going to stink it up down in Houston. I mean, why are they losing two of their first four games by 23 and 24 points, near the bottom of the league and total yardage, rushing yardage, passer rating, run defense, et cetera, et cetera? What is going on with Pittsburgh here?
Yeah, it's a 2-2 team that feels like it's 0-4, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The point differential is terrible. So
yeah, it's really bad. And when you're at this point and you get just as you said, embarrassed there by the Texans, it's a lot of people at fault for that. You can't just point at one person. It's a lot of people starting at the very top about what happened and what has transpired. And, you know, there were some high hopes coming into the season. All right, you know, the defense, TJ Watt, they'll be there. They'll be stellar. Kenny Pickett's going to take that step. We've got playmakers at running back and receiver and tight end, and the offensive line's better. And it really seems as if everything has just not come to fruition that way, where all the hopes, you know, there's a lot of planning and there's hopes in the NFL, and the hopes that they had of development and progression just has not happened, mainly starting with Kenny Pickett. I mean, it's just impossible to win NFL games on a consistent basis when you don't have a legitimate quarterback. And right now, Kenny Pickett is looking like, hey, should we bench this guy? And we know Trubisky's not the answer. He's had plenty of opportunities. But when you're at that point already in week four in the season, you know, that's a lot of trouble that you're in. And then, of course, offensive coordinator Matt Canada, for him, he's been the guy that, you know, Pittsburgh is. I have a lot of friends in Pittsburgh, a lot of friends and family in Pittsburgh. So I get the scoop and the frustrations from them all the time. So that has to go into it as well. And, you know, even Mike Tomlin, where for years and years, you know, you can point to the winning record, but the last, what, 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it is, no playoff wins. And you never would expect Pittsburgh to get blown out twice in a season already in 2 years. It's just not Pittsburgh. You know, that's just not what you associate. There's certain organizations, you know, that just don't operate like that, and they've been at the top. So when you're just talking about all of that, and even the defense, you know, Watt has been spectacular in flashes, but overall, I mean, starting at game one where, like, man, this is a Pittsburgh defense where they just got steamrolled. So everybody's got a hand in what's going on right now with this team, but they are 2-2. So
they're still hovering there. And like you said, I mean, Mike Tomlin's teams always find a way to come back around and rebound from even very ugly defeats. But I guess, you know, let's kind of start with Tomlin. I mean, you've been around this league for a long time. You've seen long tenured coaches hang around and have success. You've seen ones come in with high hopes and not last very long. I mean, in Tomlin's case, he is the second longest tenured head coach in the league right now behind Bill Belichick. You know, like you said, never had a losing season, but at the same time, you know, no playoff win since 2016. I mean, is it possible that the message has gotten stale for even maybe the NFL's foremost messenger with all the Tomlinisms and the standard is the standard and everything he says at his press conferences every week? I mean, do you think we could be nearing that territory now in a decade and a half plus?
Yeah, it really seems like it. And look, the Steelers have always been traditional in the way they operate, but is that the way to operate anymore? You know, the game has changed so much and organizations have changed. The way you play has changed. And as you said, that message could get stale. I work with Tom Coughlin and then Andy Reid and, you know, two Hall of Fame, soon to be Hall of Fame coaches. And as you said, they were there a long time. And even Andy in Philly, I wasn't there when they finally let him go, but it was time for a change when at the end there. He proved he got even better. You know, he went to KC and proved that maybe he was even better than he was in Philly. But it was just time at that time for Andy and Philly to separate. And, you know, I would never – look, I've been on the receiving end of getting fired in the NFL, so I never want people to lose their jobs. But there definitely is something to that when someone has been somewhere so long and, you know, it just something new and innovative needs to happen. And I think that was indicative – a few years later with the Ben Roethlisberger situation and trying to hang on to Ben too long. I think Pittsburgh fans maybe were split and divided, where clearly to me, it was like, Ben's done. And I've been in an organization when an older quarterback goes, a beloved older quarterback with Eli Manning starts going downhill. Right. And then you're blaming everybody else for them going downhill. They're not the same. They never go back to that. So I think really a lot of the Pittsburgh issue started with holding on to Ben Roethlisberger too long and not thinking forward about, we've got to move on and we've got to get better at this position. And did that rush them into, well, we got to take a quarterback now and Kenny Pickett, who I didn't think was really a legitimate first round quarterback, this guy's going to go out there and be a franchise quarterback and win games for us on a consistent basis. So, you know, it all kind of spiraled together. Hold on to Ben too long. Okay, now we're rushed to quarterback. Oh, did we overdraft Kenny Pickett and put too much hope to think he would be a guy? And now you're kind of seeing all the after effects of those decisions that get stacked up year after year.
Sure. And I think those who are still pro Mike Tomlin still think that, you know, he can get the job done because we've seen him do it. We've seen him achieve the highest level of success in this league. Even they might say, okay, perhaps Tomlin as a motivator hasn't gotten stale. Perhaps his message is still resonating with players, but maybe it's the schematics of it. Maybe it's the X's and O's that you kind of alluded to there, Mark. The Steelers haven't really kept up on the cutting edge with the rest of the league. And we will get into Matt Canada, I promise. There's a lot of meat on that bone. And as Tomlin has once said, you know, I'm not going to give you guys your pound of flesh, but we might extract some. We'll see. But first, I just want to say, you know, week one, they get dismantled by the Niners. Maybe they ran into the best team in football on that day. But then in week four, when you run into the Texans and it's the head coach came from the 49ers. His OC came from the 49ers in Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans. I just have to wonder, like, you know, a few years from now, are we going to look up and every team has a play caller from the Kyle Shanahan tree? Or is it, it's not that simple, but at the very least, are we seeing that the Steelers are just simply a step behind other teams when it comes to coaching and, you know, what they're doing in terms of how they're structuring their offense, their overall designs and their concepts here?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, it does seem what they're doing there is not very innovative, and you think they've got some playmakers, they can do it. But Also, you talked about the Texans, and you looked at their quarterback, and you looked at CJ Stroud, and people always ask me, how do you know when a first round of high guy is the guy? You can see it. And when you see CJ Stroud, right, you don't know. You just looked at him, and you looked at Kenny Pickett, and how they handle the game and their composure and the moxie and the poise. You're like, CJ Stroud, he's going to be good. You know, he's going to have his ups and downs and all that, but you can just kind of see that. And we're here with year two with Kenny Pickett. You're still looking, is he? When you're asking those Izzy's, Daniel Jones last night, the Giants, you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't there when they drafted Daniel Jones, but you just still look at Daniel Jones and say, when you're still asking that, yeah, the offensive line is bad, but you just look at what Daniel Jones does, you're like, nah, that's not really the guy. So I think when you're comparing where the Steelers are to, let's just say, the Texans, where you got a lot of hope because you got that guy in the center and you can do a lot of different things with him, and maybe a lot of the simplicity with the Steelers offense is because they don't trust Kenny Pickett and they have to dial a lot of things back for him and what he can do. So, you know, the flip side of that is, well, let's be innovative. Let's try to be even more innovative to take it off of him and use all these playmakers. But either way, something is not right there. Something is not gelling. Something is not looking smooth and efficient with how they're operating on offense.
Sure. We're going to get into the Matt Canada, Kenny Pickett marriage in a second, but let's first hear a quick word from Goldberg, Persky, and White. If you were diagnosed with mesothelioma or lung cancer, call your local attorneys at Goldberg, Persky, and White. For over 40 years, their firm has represented thousands of lung cancer and mesothelioma victims. Call 1-800-COMPLEX or visit gpwlaw.com for a free consultation. Also, shout out to Propel Schools right here in Pittsburgh. Propel's 13 public charter schools in Allegheny County build a solid academic foundation for lifelong learning and offer more personalized instruction at every level during your child's kindergarten through 12th grade education journey. Give your children the quality education they deserve. Learn more and apply to Propel Schools by visiting propelschools.org. Mark, where do you think we should start? Should we start with the OC and Matt Canada, or should we, you know, get into a little bit more of the Kenny Pickett chatter first here?
This is your show, man. It's your house. I'm just the guest in here.
All right.
However you talk about them, they're really hand in hand.
Whenever
you have a coordinator and the franchise quarterback, they always work hand in hand. And one thing I will say, just touch on before we get going, is you know, really, coordinators can't save quarterbacks. You know, I think a lot of people think, oh, let's bring this new guy in, he's going to save them. And that's, you know, that quarterback has to do his part as well. You know, that let's run the ball. Now, franchise quarterbacks have to make plays. You know, they can run offenses, but you have to make plays when it's needed and do that on a consistent basis. And the greater the quarterback, the more they can consistently string together big-time plays, run the offense efficiently, but also then string together those big-time plays. So it's always hand-in-hand with that, with a quarterback and how much they're struggling and really coordinators trying to save them. And that's just not really a fair assessment of how things operate.
Sure. I mean, that said, Canada has, you know, he worked with Ben Roethlisberger, his first, Ben's final season, Canada's first season as the play caller here in Pittsburgh. And then it was a few not great weeks with Mitch Trubisky to start last season. And since then it's been, you know, him and Pickett, a guy that he recruited when he was at Pitt. So there was a lot of familiarity there. But part of the reason Tomlin's in this predicament, I think, is simply promoting Canada from QB's coach to the offensive coordinator a couple years ago, obviously sticking with him this offseason in kind of, you know, in respect to stability and continuity, even when things didn't look great last year. Maybe some of those wins against bad teams down the stretch of 2022 were fool's gold more than a good sign. I mean, it hasn't gone well, to put it mildly. I mean, the fire Canada chants from fans at home, you know, social media vitriol, Mark, is probably the worst I've ever seen for a coach or player right now. I mean, what is his reputation as a play caller around the league? Like, from high level football folks that you talk to, I mean, is there anybody who thought it was a good hire to begin with? Is there anybody who thinks there's any reason for this to continue?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I think that, you know, that social media obviously is not the way you should operate. But yeah, just even with amongst the insiders, it's like, man, what are they doing there? And, you know, that loyalty, it can be good, but also you have to have really, in football, with anything, you have to have proper self-evaluation and self-awareness, self-scouting for what you're doing as an organization. And that's when you're in the draft room, in free agency, on the field, and you really have to really take a step back and look at it and say, all right, is what we're doing the right thing to do? Is this the right person? And to have that awareness and self-awareness to say, you know what, something's wrong here, then that's when you really have to make changes. It's hard, you know, loyalty when you like people, or, you know, we talked about Ben earlier, you know, not having the self-awareness to say, take his name off of there. His name is John Jones. He's our quarterback. This guy's not good enough. Let's move on. But because it was Ben Roethlisberger and you had that loyalty, and it messes up sort of your self-awareness. You almost have to be emotionless when you make decisions in the NFL sometimes. And, you know, and with Canada, I mean, he's getting beat down badly. he's getting beat down badly. So almost for the psyche of the team, almost for the psyche of the organization, you have to make a move. But then you say, okay, well, who's going to take his place? Everyone, get rid of this guy. All right, now what? You always have to have an answer to what you're doing. You always have to have a solution to a problem. And is there a person on that staff right now who could come in there and do better or help at all? Or is it just a matter of just for the psyche of the team and the organization? And maybe the rest of the coaches and staff believe in Matt Canada. That's something you never know when you hear stuff from the outside, is maybe they love the guy and they think he's doing the right thing and they feel as if he can do it. But if not, then just for the psyche of the team, you might have to just make a change just because.
Yeah, and you know, your point there is something that I thought was a mistake by the Steelers this offseason. Once they did decide to keep Canada, I didn't agree with that, but okay, you know, you don't dwell on it. But I thought the next step would be bring in kind of an older hand, a more experienced person who has, you know, NFL play calling on his resume, add him as a pass game specialist or offensive consultant or senior pass game or whatever title you wanted to give him. And then at least there's somebody to take the reins if things, frankly, go as poorly as they have through 4 weeks. But, you know, the only person on their staff with NFL play calling experience is Mike Sullivan, their quarterback's coach, you know, formerly with the Giants, but it's been a long time since he's done that. You know, Glenn Thomas is an offensive assistant, but he is, like Canada, is mostly a college lifer when it comes to coordinating an offense. So yeah, that's why I don't envision a midseason change as badly as this thing has gotten. But I guess, you know, if you've never been here, if you're Mike Tomlin, maybe you aren't really sure what you might do if you feel like your hand is forced.
Yeah, no doubt. And I don't think that's the way, you know, the ownership, you know, the rules aren't going to make Mike Tomlin do anything. They're going to let him coach his team and make decisions. And that's the way they've always operated. And the loyalty there, you know, and then it's just each week, you know, you go week to week, and maybe this week they go out there and they look like one of the best offenses. That's hope, you know, but they have to go out there and do it. And then it is just week four and they are 2-2. So if you're looking at it from a positive side, it's okay. We're still right there in the mix. It's still early. And we can just wash that away against Houston. And all right, we got this week against our big rival here, and let's go and get better. And that's the hope everyone has to have. You know, people in the NFL have short memories as far as when you're in the locker room. You know, you watch that film the next day, you got to move on. You got to go and move on and get better. And they don't really dwell in that sort of, man, we're going to be bad the rest of the year. The you know, big time players, coaches always think this is going to be the week. This is it, where we're going to change and turn things around.
So let's finish with Kenny Pickett. You know, first quarterback drafted a year ago, but I mean, he was the lowest first QB off the board since 1997, I believe. I mean, I think in a lot of cases there are Steelers fans who are saying, look, you know, it's his first full year as a starter. It doesn't always click for guys right away. Have some patience. But Mark, do you think there's maybe less of that when it's a 5-year college guy who a big, you know, reason why a lot of talent evaluators believed in him was he's a finished product. He's polished. He understands the game. You know, his upside is kind of in his work ethic and how much he improved at Pitt. Is there a little bit less of that? Hey, let's wait and see when the jury's still out for somebody who did come into the league at, I think, 23 or 24.
No doubt. When every college player you evaluate has strengths and weaknesses, and especially for a quarterback there, you know, that was the positives of Kenny Pickett. As you mentioned, you would think he would step into the situation because of the maturity and all the games played. His hometown team just got to go next door in the building. Right. to go, going to have this, nothing changes for him. Like, man, this guy just has to go play. And that was really the high hopes and the positivity with Kenny Pickett that he could handle. But that might have overshadowed. When you're selling a guy, you're always accentuating the positives and then eliminating those negatives of what they're doing. And it really got lost. Well, okay, on the field, well, why did it take him so long to get on the field? You know, what happened there that it took this guy so long? And what were the weaknesses he had as a player that took him so long? And even the weaknesses that he may have had that fifth year of the ups and downs that he had. And a lot of the questions were how talented he was. You know, is he really that talented to be that guy? And up to this point, it's kind of shown that maybe not. And just that whole draft class, if you remember, you know, Malik Willis got a lot of love, and right. Desmond Ridder and Pickett, but it really
Sam Howell, who's actually looking like he's a little better right now with Eric Bieniemy. So I guess that kind of goes back to what we were talking about. If you can get that right, gelling of the two.
Have to save him, but yeah, he's still doing his part there. And, you know, Kenny just kind of got elevated there because I think it was just the right, the Pittsburgh, that all worked together. Well, we have to take this guy right now. As opposed to if he played at North Carolina State, and like maybe that might not have been the guy, and they may have waited. Yeah. So, you want to see flashes, you want to see glimmers of hope when you watch a quarterback play. You know, that's even despite the ups and downs. Let's talk about Anthony Richardson and a raw guy who's, you know, he may not end up being the guy, but you see flashes like, yep, you know what? I see why we took this guy. We can see why the Colts took him. But with Kenny, and you're just not seeing those flashes of, yes, we can hang our hat on. This is what he does really well. And he's going to continue to get better with those things and iron out sort of the weaknesses. And at this point, that's the big concern of the weaknesses that he had in college are kind of all getting exposed right now.
And it's one thing we're seeing as a theme from the team that you used to work for and now the Steelers, it's tough to be in QB purgatory, I guess, in this league. And in the Giants sense, you know, they put their money where their mouth is already with Daniel Jones. You know, at least the Steelers, you know, they've got some time before they have to make any weighty long-term organizational decisions like that with Pickett. So so we'll see what happens here. Mark, anything you wanted to add before we head out here?
No, just old school slugfest this weekend. Get a W for the psyche of the city there.
I mean, these are the kind of games that Tomlin's teams seem to win, no matter what's going wrong on both sides of the ball. They kind of just dig deep and find a way to beat a team like the Ravens at home. But I will say, just from being in that stadium against the Texans and just the feel of everything and how soundly they were defeated, I mean, it doesn't feel the same way as in previous years when you've said, hey, maybe the Steelers will bounce back and turn it around the next week.
Yeah, for sure. At this point, that definitely was a shock of one of the shocks of the season for them to get down and not just lose, but just get thoroughly just sort of beat down there. And that's sort of concerning. Week one, you could understand, and you beat the Raiders and the Browns, and it's like, a couple bad teams playing each other, but this will be a true test there this week.
Well, thanks so much to you, Mark, on behalf of Mark Ross from the NFL Network. I'm Brian Badko. Thanks as always for watching us here on the Chip Tamman Football Show on PG Sports Now. And we'll see what happens Sunday against the Ravens. Keep it here the rest of this week for plenty of shows, plenty of stories from the Post-Gazette.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you enjoyed the video, please like it and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out our Apple Podcast channel for more podcast content. Click below for a special deal of 99 cents for a 3-month subscription to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.